Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. So glad all of you are here. God bless you. Did you know I was preaching today? Yeah, we might not have had this bigger crowd now. No, I appreciate it. I see you smiling. That's great. Makes me feel better. Well, today the sermon is about seven things, or seven names of Christ in the book of Hebrews, and it's seven. And I always preach three-point sermons, so I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I am going to put it in ministerial overdrive, and we're going to get through this, and I even have a timekeeper sitting right over here. Yeah. So I'm thinking about all the wonderful names of Christ, not just in Hebrews, but throughout Scripture. But it made me think of names that I was called when I was growing up. Have you thought about names that you were called when you were growing up? I mean, I was Stevie, Steverino, Stevie Wonder. Yeah, things like that. And that was okay. But there were two names I didn't like that I was called. This is true. At a very early age, I was called Gabby. Why? It fit me. I just talked all the time. I wouldn't shut up. My wife says sometimes you still do that. The other name that I was called was Stinky. Yeah, it fit me. I don't think they had invented baths back then. I don't remember ever taking one. I'm sure I did. But if I did, why would they call me Stinky? So how about y'all? Did y'all have nicknames? Some complimentary maybe, some not so much, huh? How about Speedy, Shorty, Bubba, Tubby, Smiley, Sissy, Bones, Freckles, Pumpkin? Huh? Did I hit one? How about Sugar? Honey, yeah, Sweetie, well, those are nice. But in one way or another, they fit us, you know, and maybe we've outgrown them by now. But I was just thinking of the names of Christ. So if Jesus were to open those doors right now and physically walk in, I would say, hey, everybody, let's give Jesus a proper introduction. So if y'all want to help me with these names, if you want to read them with me, I'm going to go real fast. So pop those up there, Valerie. Yeah. Are they there? Okay, go to the next one. I think we missed it. Can you go back to the... There we go. All right, we're going to go fast here. Now we're introducing Jesus. So we need to be really excited about this. Almighty One, Alpha and Omega, Advocate, Bread of Life, Bridegroom, Chief Cornerstone, Deliverer, Faithful and True, Good Shepherd, The Door, Great High Priest, I Am, Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lamb of God, Light of the World. Is that enough for you? Well, let's just go on. Let's go on to some more. Oh, here we go. Lion of the tribe of Judah, Rock of Salvation, Lord of all, Messiah, Mighty One, Redeemer, Friend, Savior, Son of Man, Son of God, Last Adam, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Word, the True Vine, Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hold on a second. Y'all want to go on? All right, we've got to go on with this sermon. I got 7 points. Okay, so heir of all things. Is that the next thing? Oh, there we go. It's Hebrews 1:2. So this is just in Hebrews, these seven names. But he's called the heir of all things. And there it says, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days. Do you know those last days began at Pentecost? Yeah. Somebody asked me one day, do you think we're in the last days? I said, oh yeah, we've been living in them for 2,000 years. Yeah, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Wow. Jesus is the heir of the culmination of everything, all wrapped up in one person, everything we needed for life and eternity. Jesus was it. So he inherited a better name, sonship, authority that Adam lost 6,000 years ago. It's been gone for 6,000 years. Then Jesus got it back after 4,000 years. Jesus, the authority that belonged to Adam was returned to the second Adam. And Jesus' goal is to return it to humanity, living by the word of God in the love of God. Authority, resurrection, and judgment. You know, without Jesus, there's no resurrection. You might say, oh, well, everybody lives forever. I don't want to take that chance without Jesus, do you? Yeah, he is the resurrection and the life. He told Mary and Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Yeah, and he said, even if you die, you shall yet live. Wow. So if you ever read about Steve and you might say, well, you might see me in the obituary, but I won't be dead. I might die, but I won't be dead. I'm asleep in Jesus, waiting for what? The trumpet. Yeah, waiting for the trumpet. And Jesus is the judgment. Yeah, he's the mediator of grace, but all judgment has been given unto him. And that's a later time. All right, he's the captain of our salvation. Another translation says, let's see that next little slide there. Yeah, another translation said he's the perfect leader. I like that. Captain of our salvation means he's the perfect leader, and he's going to bring many children into glory. Who are his children? Everybody that puts their faith in him. Everybody that takes him up on his offer. Yeah, that's who it is. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Wow, isn't that wonderful? So, there is no higher authority. He is a capable Savior. He's a gracious Savior. See, what a gracious Savior is he's not holding your sins against you. Yeah, not holding them against you. Why? Because in him was grace and truth. Yeah, so the doors of heaven are open. You know, Cindy was talking earlier about feeling worthy. Feeling unworthy is a feeling. If Jesus makes you worthy, you say, I'm just going to accept myself the way you look at me. Amen. Yeah, so he's a gracious Savior. He did everything necessary for your salvation. Everything necessary. Titus says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Did he say he gave us the tools to save ourselves? No. Or just listen to my words and you'll be... No. According to his mercy, he saved us. Wow. So, I like to put it this way in one sentence. Right there on that next slide. Jesus restored everything to humanity that Adam lost in the fall. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Could y'all think about that for just a moment? We don't have too many moments, but we'll pause for just a second. Everything Adam lost. He lost a lot, didn't he? Yeah, but Jesus restored it all. So when Jesus died upon the cross and said, it is finished, what he was saying is, I've completed the work you have sent me to do, and everything that I needed to do for humanity to restore it and to begin the new creation, except for my resurrection, it's all done, it's all complete, and in 3 days, it'll be all done. Yeah. And when I come out of the tomb, all of those that put their faith and trust in me, they're coming out with me. I'm getting happy up here. Sometimes I think I don't smile enough. You know, if you're happy, smile. I have to tell myself that. Look in the mirror. Smile. Okay, so he's the apostle and high priest. Hebrews 3:1-2 says, there it is. Consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Yeah. So, what does that mean, the high priest of our confession? What do we usually think about confession? Confessing our sins. Telling God how bad we feel, how far we've missed it, and so on. What a terrible sinner. Sometimes, and confess the things that we've done. No, that's not what... Now, that could be one part of it. But confession literally means, in the Greek, it says homologia. And homo, you know, means the same. Logia means the word or a saying. So how about this? Here's what confession means. To say along with God. To say what God says. To put God's word in your mouth. Yeah, so if he calls you holy, if he calls you perfect, if he calls you sanctified, if he calls you redeemed, then what do you say? I just don't feel like that. God, you said this about me. I'm going to say along with you who I really am and how you look at me. And God, what you call me, I will call myself. There you go. So find out what he called you. So next, he's the author of salvation. Hey, we're already in number 4. Y'all getting excited? This is really good. Yeah. Don't tell Doug and Tasha what time we got out of here. Oh, wait a minute. They could actually be watching this on Facebook. Busted. All right. What did I say? Author of salvation? There it is. Hebrews 5. It said, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation. The source. There's no place else to go, folks. Jesus is the source. There's not many sources. There's Muhammad. There's Buddha. But did you know they never claimed to be a savior? You don't have to put down other religious leaders. They never claimed to be a savior. Their blood was not shed. You can go to their grave and worship if you would like, because that's where they are. But with Christianity, we worship a savior from an empty tomb. So that means there's something he can do for you right now since he's alive. Yeah. So he's the source of eternal salvation because he can do something about your present condition. All right. So Romans 1:16, love this. This is one of my favorite New Testament scriptures where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Another way of saying ashamed is disappointed. I'm not disappointed. I'm not disappointed in the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. We think sometimes when we hear the word gospel, we think, oh, I'm trusting in Christ that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Well, you know, that's a very small aspect. That's a later thing. God's going to throw that in. That's icing on the cake. But did you know he has something for you right now that's called salvation? Yeah. To the Hebrew understanding of salvation, their understanding was something different. It was all about this life. And so when Paul was talking about salvation, that word there in the Greek, by the way, is soteria. On that next slide, it shows you. Yeah, soteria in Greek means healing, wholeness, health, provision, peace, rescue, and safety. That's what he's doing for you, right? That's what he will do. All of those things. Whatever your need might be. Are you hungry? He satisfies your hunger. Are you thirsty? He satisfies your thirst. Are you lonely? Are you in trouble? Are you discouraged? Whatever it might be, Jesus will help you. It's all a part of your salvation. All right, let's look at provision. Forerunner. Forerunner. That's what he's called in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 6:20. We have a hope that enters into the inner place. That's kind of like saying the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain. Yeah. In that place, only the high priest could go. And he has to be very careful about how he enters that holy place. Or he could be toast. Yeah, could be a cinder. All right, so he could. But Jesus entered in, took his own blood, made propitiation for our sins, and then has the audacity to say, where I have gone, you can go. There's, the curtain has been removed. It's been torn down. There's no barrier between you and God. Wow. So he went as a forerunner. What is a forerunner? That's somebody that's out front. Now, are we trotting along behind? Yeah, that's what a forerunner is. There's people behind you walking in your footsteps. And Jesus is the forerunner or the first one to go, but he's looking back and he has a whole host of those following after. Jesus never went anywhere. He never accomplished anything that he did not include you. That blows my mind sometimes. Jesus went where we could not go to gain a salvation we could not obtain. All right, let's look at high priest, Hebrews 10:21. Wow, we're already on number 6. I was so worried about this, I'm going fast. I know what you're saying. Hey, don't be worried. We're all here. We're not going anywhere. Yes, you are. Yeah, we are going somewhere. Come on, move it along, preacher. All right, high priest, Hebrews 10:21. Since we have a great high priest. No, it didn't say if we do. We wish we did. No, since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincerity, sincere hearts, and fully trusting him. Did you know that's your privilege? Access to the throne of grace. Let us come boldly, Hebrews says, to God's throne of grace that we might obtain help in time of need. Well, you may not feel too worthy to walk into that throne of grace, but remember, it's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of deserving. It's a throne of grace. Well, I'm so needy and I'm so unworthy. All right, that's why he invites you in. Jesus gained access to that for you. So if you have access, use it. Use it every day. Don't let the devil lie to you. The devil wants to exclude you. Jesus died to include you. And he rose again to make sure or to ensure or to enforce that victory. So here's some things about that. A priest represents the people to God like Moses. So everything Jesus did, he did for us. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. His work is accomplished. It's done. And nobody here that's listening to me or anybody out there watching on Facebook or YouTube is excluded. The devil will tell you you're excluded. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. You failed too many times. God has given up on you. Forget it. No, no. That's a lie from the devil. So you've got to, that's to answer the devil to say, no, I'm included. Praise God, I'm included. Everything Jesus did for me, he did it as me, and he did it for me, and now he's doing it in me. All right, now let's look at the next one. He's the author and finisher of our faith. All right, let's look at that scripture. We're going to get some clarity on exactly what that means. So it says there, let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. How much endurance do you have? You have enough. You have enough. God's going to supply the need that you have. He's going to supply the strength and he's going to supply the determination, because at the end of the race, you'll say, no matter how difficult your race was, you'll say, it was worth it. Wow. And remembering, you're running a race that Jesus already ran before you. He's called the forerunner. He's in front of you. You're just following right in his footsteps. So it's kind of like somebody climbing Mount Everest. Can you do that? You might say, no, I don't think so. No, Jesus did. You just walk in his footsteps. Yeah. Can you swim the English Channel? I don't think so. Well, somebody has done that, haven't they? Many people. They used to say it couldn't be done. Humans don't have enough endurance. Well, they say it can't be done, that you can be saved and go to heaven, and that you could experience all the goodness of God in this life. There was those that said, you can't do that. You can't get there. You're not good enough. You're disqualified. You're excluded. Lies from the devil. No, Jesus is the for everything he did, he's looking back expecting you to follow right in his footsteps. It's kind of like going through the jungle. I used to watch these. I love jungle movies. Anybody else? And you'd see the lead guy in front there, and here's this all this jungle, but he's got this machete, and he's just hacking away the jungle, you know. If there's a snake, he can hack away the snake. If there's a lion, there's a tiger, he runs them off. Okay, you're safe behind that guide. You're safe behind him. He's already cut a path for you. All you do is just walk right behind him. So I like to think of it as, this is another translation, the founder and perfecter. How about that? Here's another way of saying, the developer and completer of your faith. Yeah. He will complete it. Philippians puts it this way, he who began a good work in you will complete it until that day. So, how many of you still have a ways to go? It's not completed. Right, it's not completed in me yet, but it is. I am being brought to completion, and it will happen because I'm on my way. I heard a preacher say, I haven't arrived, but I have left. So follow Jesus, and you will win what he won. Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. Have you ever read that scripture and said, oh, wait a minute. Not be greater things than Jesus? Well, he didn't mean you personally doing everything necessarily. You'll do some things because he answers faith. He answers your faith. Remember how Jesus was sometimes irritated at his disciples because they weren't doing what he thought they should have just been doing, like when in the boat, whenever the storm arose and he was asleep in the boat. And it was as if he were saying to his disciples who were terrorized by the storm, it was as if Jesus were saying, why didn't you all take care of that? Where's your faith? Yeah. But you might think your faith is little, but Jesus said, that's all right. Faith works on any level. So when you think you've just got a little bit, I remember a time in my life that I was not feeling spiritual. I didn't know how to pray a real preacher-type prayer for healing or whatever. I simply said, Jesus, help me. That's the only words I could think of. And at that moment, that very moment, that I was having a sinus kind of hay fever-type attack, and I was helping a farmer load some hay on his trailer, and the hay was blowing in my face, and I was sneezing one right after the other. And I was trying to keep up with him. He's driving the tractor and the trailer. And I'm supposed to be throwing these on for him. And I couldn't. I just kept sneezing. And so I said, Jesus, help me. Immediately, the sneezing stopped. And I was able to continue the work. Well, I didn't realize it until 2 or 3 days later that I was not having an attack at night or in the morning, which I used to do. I just had to realize there's going to be a whole lot of sneezing and sniffling and sputtering and coughing every morning and every night. Yeah, that was my routine. I realized 2 or 3 days later that that wasn't happening. So he completely healed me of every allergy at that moment. And that has been 45 years ago. Yeah. So it's exciting what God can do for you. So what was my prayer? Jesus, help me. So Jesus began the work in you. He will finish it. So there's a prayer for you. Lord, you have begun a good work in me, and you're going to complete it. So here I am. I'm presenting myself today. Here I am. Help me out. Work on me some. Bring me up a little bit. You began this work. You're going to complete it. But I've got to cooperate with my faith. I've got to cooperate by walking after you. All right, so we're on point 7. You're starting the 5-minute countdown. I told Becky, I said, give me the sign. 5 minutes. Starting the countdown. Okay, so he satisfies hunger. There we go. I'm just going to run these off. He satisfies hunger, gives light in darkness. He's got a total salvation for you, not partial. Access to the throne of grace. He raises the dead. Whoa, stop right there, preacher. No, I'm not stopping there. I mean, that's good enough to stop there. Let's go on. He began the new creation. Stop right there. No, I can't stop right there. You're just going to have to let that soak in because you're a part of it. Yes. When Jesus came out of the tomb the third day, that began the new creation. Here's what I like to say. A whole new humanity came out with him. And that's you and that's me. Okay, he began the whole new creation and he gives eternal life. Why? He is the resurrection and the life. All right. Okay, so that's, now the last slide here is just a reiteration of those 7 things. Now, can you remember all those? No. I think about sermons in the past that were so good that somebody said, hey, did you like the sermon? Oh, I loved the sermon. Man, it was terrific. What was it about? I can't remember. I was getting on to somebody about one of my sermons. And they said, no, that was a good sermon, but I can't remember. And they said, what was it about? And I said, I can't remember either. Hey, but here's the way to look at it. Were you nourished today? Were you fed? Were you encouraged? Okay, that's what needs to happen, whether you remember everything or not. Did you know I can't remember what I ate yesterday or the day before? I can't remember. I could not tell you the menu. Okay, but did it help me? Did it strengthen me? Did it help? Yeah. Encourage me? Made me happy? Did it satisfy me? Yes, it did. But I can't remember what I ate. So sometimes that's the way a sermon is. I hope you've been blessed today by that. And so if you can just, I've got all 7 up there. If there's one that stands out for you that says, boy, I'm going to take that one. I can remember one of them and it'll change your life and help you today. God bless you for being here. There's always a time of prayer if you would like some prayer after at the end of the service. Feel free to grab me or grab Pastor Cindy or Pastor Brian, and we're happy to pray for you. Thank you so much, and thank you for tuning in online and watching us today. God bless you for being here. You're dismissed.